Hello and welcome to our final episode in this series of Rabbiting On.
If we don't sound like Rabbis Debbie, Miriam and Robin, it's because we're not them.
Although we might sound a little bit like them, because as they say in this business called show, the apples don't fall far from the tree.
Really, this should have happened years ago, but once they started rabbiting, it's been impossible to get a word in edgeways, as our dads will tell you.
With our mums exhausted after a mutsatastic seder, our moment to shine is finally here. I'm Eliana, I'm 13 years old and I'm the daughter of Rabbi Debbie, and my favourite Jewish moment this year was the matzah bake that I did with my family.
My name is Ben, I'm 14 and I'm the son of Rabbi Miriam, and my favourite Jewish moment this year was a few days ago doing bedikat chametz with my cousin. My dad hid chametz in the piano, which I found, and that was definitely a great moment.
Hello, I am Gabriel. I am 13 and I am the son of Rabbi Robin. And my favourite Jewish moment of this year is having matzah because it pleasantly surprised me.
Hi, I'm Micha. I'm 10 years old. I am the son of Rabbi Debbie. And my favourite Jewish moment of the year was putting on a show with all of my penguins during Maggid.
For this episode, we reckon it's time for a shake-up and some fresh ideas. We've had a word with producer Dan and have decided to write some questions for each other and are going to take it in turns to answer. So, who wants to go first and how should we decide it?
I think we should do a contest to see who can hold their breath the longest.
Ooh. Okay, three, two, one.
Rabbiting on.
I'm out. Okay, so I won then.
Gabriel, where is the strangest place you've been recognised and asked if your mum is the rabbi?
The strangest place I've been recognised is in the bathroom at school, and someone came up to me and asked me if I am the son of Rabbi Robin, and it led to a really interesting chat about me being the son of a rabbi.
Wow.
Ben, what is the strangest place you've been recognised?
So, I had taken a flight from London Heathrow to Miami, then Miami to San Jose in Costa Rica, and then stayed in a hotel overnight for 8 hours only. I need more sleep than that regularly, but I was already very tired, before getting a bus from San Jose to a river, then getting a boat 2 hours down a river to a very remote hotel in the jungle of Costa Rica. We got into the hotel, put our bags down, and immediately went into the swimming pool. And as we were getting in, I hear a voice go, "Rabbi Miriam, fancy seeing you here. Wow, what a small world. Could we please take a selfie to send to my rabbi?" And that was very small world, but I think it is just because my mum is a world-renowned icon. Micha, how about you?
When I was at Chessington, the big amusement park, I was in the line waiting to go on one of the rides, and this woman who was about to go on one of the rides suddenly spots me and she's like, "Are you Rabbi Debbie's son?" And I'm stood there in this massive crowd of people nodding my head to this woman who looks like she's about to throw up.
That is crazy.
Eliana?
I mean, there's so many times that I've been recognised. It's happened like twice when I've been walking home from school with two of my friends, and like these people will just come up to me and they'll be really freaked out, and that's always quite funny to see.
Of all of you, what's it like being a Jewish child at school?
For me, I go to an international school, so it's not like I'm singled out as the Jewish kid, because there is a lot of diversity. But I do love it when in the winter I walk into school and I'm greeted by the head teacher finding every Jewish child to say Happy Hanukkah, which is really funny because that's the only festival he will ever do it. But I appreciate it nonetheless. How about you, Gabriel?
To be a Jewish child at my school, it's the same. Got a lot of culture at my school, a lot of like Sikh, Muslim, Christian people. But at every festival, the one Jewish teacher in the school sets up a thing with Chabad, and the rabbi comes in with pizza, and we do a bit about that festival.
Oh, yes, the most Jewish thing of all.
Yeah. What about you, Micha?
Well, I go to a Jewish school, but I'm always singled out as the Jewish kid. And like, once in year two, everyone was trying to figure out a question and they all just went to me. So that's my experience. Eliana?
Well, I guess I'm kind of similar to you because I also go to a Jewish school. But I guess I'm singled out in a way because there aren't that many religious kids, let alone Reform religious kids. So, I mean, whenever there's a question about like Reform Judaism in my Jewish studies lessons, it's always definitely like directed to me before anyone else.
What would you say is the funniest thing about being the child of a rabbi? It's quite similar to Micha's story about the strangest place you've been recognized, but I really enjoy pretending to recognize everyone that knows me because they all will just say something about my life and I just need to pretend that it's not incredibly weird that they know me and that they know so much about me.
That is a bit creepy always.
I'm on some random place with my mum and someone comes up to me and says, "Oh, you're Gabriel, you've got much taller." And I've got no idea who they are. And I have to go along saying like, "Oh yeah, my mum's told me about you." So that's very funny. What do you think about your mum being a podcaster, Ben?
Well, my mum actually has two podcasts now, and I don't know how she manages that. Because as well as Rabbiting On, she also does Life Dunk, which is like almost plugging Wellspring, which is her charity building a mikvah. This feels a bit like an advert break now. I should probably stop. But you can learn more about Wellspring at wellspringuk.org.
Yay! Free advertisement. For me, when I found out that she had a podcast, I thought she was going to be the next Joe Rogan. But I was proved wrong.
Not yet. There's still time.
Yeah, not yet.
I guess it's kind of similar to when someone asks you, like, is it weird seeing your, like, mum up on the dimmer? And, like, it's not, like, weird because I don't see her as a rabbi. I just see her as my mum who has all these side quests.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
For me, I think it's very cool because I listen to podcasts very much, especially off-menu food podcast.
Ooh.
So it's kind of cool having my mum as a podcaster because it feels very similar.
What do you want to be when you grow up, Micha? Do you want to be the next Joe Rogan?
I'd say I'm very into tech and programming, so I'd say definitely in that area.
When I'm older, I would like to be a pilot. I think it's very cool. Yet paid to travel the world, yet free perks, and I think it'll be a good experience.
Just don't get glasses. Not a cup.
Yeah.
You're not allowed glasses.
Cool. Yeah, what about you, Ben?
So I've had some great role models in my life. You know, my mum has always been a role model to me. And that's why I also want to be leading services in the future, which is why I want to be a cantor, leading prayer in a meaningful way, instead of announcing page numbers to everyone as rabbis do.
That's nice.
I think I want to be, you know, I want to do cooking or something. But as my dad always tells me, I should just go into tech because apparently AI is going to take over the world. But that's all right. Discussion.
Yeah.
If you had to explain to a non-Jewish friend about what being a rabbi is, what would you say to them? Ben?
I mean, it's a hybrid of a lot of different jobs. You're a teacher, a therapist, a page number announcer, a passport form signer, a backing singer, a funeral arranger, a marriage guidance counselor, a party entertainer, I guess, in services for under fives. And I often enjoyed seeing how many life cycle events my mum can do in one weekend. There was a weekend where she did a baby naming, baby blessing, a bar mitzvah, a wedding, a funeral, and a stone setting. So she really covered all of the bases, but not for the same family, thank God.
Yeah. I would say to them, it's like you're getting paid to just go around doing side quests. Mm. You are a side quester and you're getting paid to do that.
I guess in the most basic way, I kind of just explain it as being like, because most people know what like a priest is. I kind of just explain it in a way of being like a Jewish priest in the most basic way.
Mm.
Literally said what I was going to say, but I'd say it's about same as a priest, but doing different things. Like in Sunday services at church, you hand out bread and wine, but at shul, you hand out more food. So that's, I like that.
And what would you say is the best thing about being the child of a rabbi?
I'd say getting to the food section first. But seeing, because my mum gets invited to a lot of different cultural aspects, like we've been to a mosque, she's met the Pope, so you're going around a lot. And when I come with, it's nice seeing how different cultures is, like different cultures are, but also so similar.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the best thing about being the child of a rabbi.
Mine is kind of like Gabriel's, but my mum has gone to so many different events. Like she went to the Commonwealth service. And she gives us all these exciting stories about meeting famous people. And to me, that's just really exciting.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's the benefits of the community, because I've had like so many experiences where the community has been so helpful for me. So I have braces. I know that people listening can't see me, but I do. And the way that I got braces was I was at football training, and I knew that I needed braces, but the NHS meant that I was not going to get them for a very long time. And by the time I had finished football training, my mum had had a whole conversation with an orthodontist and I was getting them in a few months' time. And that was incredible, because that means I'll probably get them off before I even start year 12.
That's good.
I mean, there's so many. I guess my favourite thing is like the opportunities that I get because my mum's a rabbi. Like one time I got to go to the Commonwealth service with her. And I get like a lot of learning opportunities, I guess. And people, I don't always know, but people think I know a lot and people think I'm smart. So that's good as well.
What would you say to the world right now if Trump and Netanyahu are listening?
Tough question,
yeah.
I would say from my perspective, if I were to choose, I'd at least say have a ceasefire, because I think it's quite a lot at the moment. So that's what I would say. What about you, Ben?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily tell them anything, but I would definitely ask them if they would rather have a New York bagel or an Israeli falafel. And I don't know what Netanyahu would say, but I do know that Trump would talk about these beautiful, beautiful American bagels. America makes the best bagels. No one makes bagels better than America. And that would definitely be something interesting to ask them.
I would ask Trump why, if you flip Donald Duck upside down, it looks like Donald Trump.
Okay.
That's my only question.
I've never seen that before.
Oh, I need... I almost need people to be listening so that we can put like a picture of Donald Duck on the screen and then flip it and see.
Imagine Donald Duck flipped.
How yeah.
I don't know if I would say this to Trump and Netanyahu, but we talk about politics quite a lot at school, obviously because I go to a Jewish school and it's quite a big thing. And I think people, I don't know if people understand this, but I think it needs to be said that neither side is going anywhere. Like, nobody is going to just leave because, obviously people are going to leave because of a war, but neither side is going to just stop and just give up. Which is a good thing because we both care, but we need to figure out a way to live peacefully side by side because otherwise it's just going to be war forever.
Well said.
I like that we had two so meaningful things and two so stupid things.
Yeah, I was going to say.
At the end of the day, we are all human and we do all have feelings no matter what kind of laws dictate or the government dictates what like is bad or what is good. We are all humans, and I think people forget that a lot, no matter what, like your age, gender, sexuality, where you come from, like anything. It shouldn't, in the end, it shouldn't matter because we are all human with human feelings who deserve to be able to speak up and deserve to have a choice.
It's hard because there's so many different cultures of like people going against each other. At school, what I was saying beforehand, like a lot of my friends are like Sikh and Muslim, and like we've got really strong connections. And it's just sad to see in the wider world that's kind of like turned on each other, and it's turning into wars and stuff. Where at the end of the day, one of my best friends Muslim, so sad to see.
I see this as an economic war. Like, this is a resource war, not a war about territory or who hates who. This is about who has more resources.
Good perspective.
I would say when you're listening to this, you're probably, you know, walking your dog, walking without a dog, walking, not walking. There are things going on that people don't really realize they can make a difference to. And I think actually everyone plays a part in the world. I don't want to make this too philosophical, but you serve a purpose. And I think you should use your purpose and you should make good things happen in the world so that our generation can benefit.
Well said.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people think, like, they're just one person. What could, like, they do? But there are a lot of people
exactly.
think that. Yeah. And if all of those people who thought that did that one thing, it could probably make a big difference.
I feel like we're turning into our mothers.
This is like the end of a sermon.
Yeah. Rabbit on. Rabbit on.
Rabbit on. Do. Eliana, do you have any favourite sermons that your mum has given?
My favourite sermon that my mum has given is probably the one that has like stuck in my head the most. I don't even remember what it's fully about, but it was Yom Kippur, I think like 2, maybe 3 years ago. And I remember all summer she had been reading this book by Sandy Toksvig, and it was about how the Danes had like saved the Jews in the Holocaust. And they like sent them to Sweden. I don't remember what it was fully about. But I just remember like the message of it, like sticking with me for like a really long time. And the message was like, people who were taken by the Nazis, they still wanted to help the Jews, even at such great risk to themselves and their country and their freedom.
I think my Holy Day sermons must definitely be the best ones because my favorite one that my mom has given, even though it made me cry, was on Kol Nidre when she announced that she was leaving FRS after 17 years to start Wellspring. I'm not going to plug it again, but when she announced that she was leaving, that was very emotional for me and I loved it. And I like that she is now very happy at Wellspring.
You love that she was happy that she was leaving, or you loved that you were leaving?
I loved that she was happy with her decision to be leaving.
My favourite sermon that she has given, it was my birthday, or like close to my birthday. And I can't really remember why I was there. But, so she was talking. So I love penguins. I love everything penguin. And she was talking about how, like, climate change has affected our world. And she was talking about how, like, animals in Antarctica and the Arctic who rely on this ice, their homes being melted away. So I really appreciated that.
My cousin Rafa also loves penguins and he adopted a penguin. Have you considered doing that?
Yeah, but it's really expensive.
It was his birthday, I think his bar mitzvah present.
So yeah,
it's a great option.
Yeah, my grandma, when Micha was born, like 10 years ago now, adopted a turtle and called it Micha. So we have that.
Oh,
that's nice.
Gabriel, what's your favourite sermon that your mum has given? I didn't mean to shift the conversation.
Yeah, I say it's probably not my favourite in terms of like what's been said in it, but the ones that stuck in my mind the most is I was starving in one of a shul and wanted to run straight to Kiddush, and then I forgot that was a sermon. And then my mum started, I forgot what it actually was, but started talking about something. And then as soon as she finished, I just remember running straight down the aisle and like running straight through the door to the Kiddush. So it's probably not my favourite sermon, but my favourite ending to a sermon.
I forget that there's a sermon every week and it's always a bit disappointing.
Yeah, it's like ready to go. And then
my favourite sermon ever, though, isn't by my mum. It was at my bat mitzvah. The person who did my bat mitzvah, Cantor Tamara, she, like, at the beginning of it, I'm very obsessed with musicals, and she, like, sung a line from Hamilton, and, yeah, I almost cried. That was my favourite sermon ever.
Aw.
That's nice.
Wasn't it also filled with Taylor Swift lyrics?
Yes, because we're both Swifties. So what does it mean to you all to be Jewish? Gabriel?
It feels a big part of my life, obviously. But I feel like after I've had my bar mitzvah, I've really started to connect with it. Like after my bar mitzvah, I couldn't wait for the service to finish. And I was just sitting there bored. I feel like now if I am in a service, which is not often because I have football, but if I am in a service, then I'm like really interested in it and I sing along more and find it more meaningful when I am there. And I don't really want it to finish because I'm really enjoying it. What about you, Ben?
I mean, I'm also obsessed with Jewish music, or as I now have started calling it, J-pop. I think the way that we kind of use Jewish music to help people engage with a service, I find really interesting because I find it so much easier to kind of engage with prayer when it's accompanied by music. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of music myself and want to become a cantor. So I think that's been a really important part of Judaism for me now. Micha, how about you?
I think it's not quite answering the question, but if I didn't have Judaism, I wouldn't have what I have. I wouldn't have most of my friends. There's lots of things that I wouldn't have that I think now I take for granted, but that is what Judaism has given me.
You wouldn't have to eat matzah for a week.
I think my favourite thing about being Jewish, it's not my favourite thing, but Judaism is probably the biggest part of my life because my mum's a rabbi, my dad's also a rabbi. And, you know, I go to a Jewish school. I've lived Judaism since I was born. And, like, my dad is a rabbi in, like, kosher food. That's what he, like, specialises in, I guess. And one of the reasons why I guess I want to be a chef is I want to make like kosher food more accessible because it's so expensive And it's like, and that's kind of a little bit what my dad does. And like, it's so expensive and it's insane. And it makes people like, not they have to, but makes people unable to, you know, keep kosher, which is one of the things that I think, which my family do. I know a lot of people don't, like, that's fine. But it's one that my family do, and I know that it's so expensive and I see it. And it, like, discourages people, I guess. So I want to, like, help make it more accessible. And that's one of the reasons why I want to be a chef.
That's nice. So if you were leader of the world for a week, what would you do first? What would your responsibilities be? Ben?
There's so much you can do, but I would have to be so tempted not to do anything incredibly selfish.
Yeah.
And I hope that if this did happen, my morals would prevail and I would do something for the greater good of the world. It, like, as much as I would like it to be making sure Arsenal win trophies, I think it would probably have to be something like stopping war, those kind of very moral things.
Yeah. Well, I think I would say to stop war, to decrease poverty and make everything a bit more accessible for people who are disabled or who have disabilities.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do anything to change what people wouldn't do, but I would make people view things in a different way. I would not that they're I wouldn't make them stop, but I would make them think about what they're doing. And yeah, just see how that pans out.
Yeah, I think there's obviously a lot of things that you would want to do, but I think a big one for me is like education, because, you know, the next generation, us and next generations, are the ones who are going to be here in like in the future. And if we are not being taught the right things, or, you know, not being pushed in the right direction, like, the world isn't going to be the greatest place, and, you know, climate change and everything will probably end the world. So I think, you know, education will probably be a big thing for me.
You see, like, when it's that or Arsenal, it's just such a hard decision.
Sure. You really need it though, don't you?
I don't know much about football.
I mean, I know we're all for, like, the monarchy, but if Queen Victoria never happened, we wouldn't have to go to school.
Ooh.
I think it still would have happened.
Didn't know that.
All these things would have.
Yeah, but, like, that she made it law.
It's a good thing. We need school.
Do we?
Yes.
We don't need homework.
Yeah. No, I think we need homework that is actually going to help us, because a lot of the homework doesn't actually help us. It's just there to do.
Exactly.
Homework for the sake of homework is one of my biggest annoyances.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, too much homework.
Yeah, I have so much of that.
But it's the Easter holidays, sorry, Pesach holidays now, so everyone can just relax a bit.
We have 3 tests to do. Our teachers.
Like, the week that you get back.
We do, but also, she gives us homework tests.
Yeah, because you're only a 6.
Obviously, I've got SATs in a few weeks. And I don't know why everyone is stressing so much. Because the only reason we do SATs is so that we can go to secondary school. And we go to secondary school so that we can do GCSEs.
Good luck with your SATs.
Yeah, good luck.
If you could live in any book or movie, either in or outside of your SATs tests, English SATs, what book or movie would you be living in? Micha.
Okay, so this is more of a series, but I would like to be inside Bluey, because everyone seems to be so happy, and I just don't think we get that nowadays.
For me, it's just come out, Zootopia 2. Being able to choose what climate you're in So sorry for any spoilers.
Seen it.
Yeah, I'm watching that it. Soon.
Close your ears. But you get to choose what temperature you want to be in. So if I was in that, it's like if I'm hot, I can go to the cold life.
Everyone forgets that it's not Zootopia, it's Zootropolis.
Because it's different in America.
It's only... Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, my bad.
Everyone... Like, not that it's bad, I just think everyone's forgetting.
Yeah.
My problem is that my favourite TV series is set in America and it's called The Rookie, but it's about, like, police officers. And, like, every episode, bad things happen. So I wouldn't want to live in it, but I think it's a great TV show. So if you haven't watched it, you should watch it.
More free advertisement.
Yeah, I'm doing really well with that.
Yeah,
I'm a big, big, like, reader. I read a lot. So if I had to pick one book, well, there's actually two, but and I'm reading both of them right now. It's The Song of Achilles, which is really good, and Fourth Wing. They're both really good and I love them both. But if I had to pick a movie, probably like the new BTS concert movie, because if I was there, that'd be so cool. I'm a big K-pop fan as well.
I've got another one. I would want to go into a series of unfortunate events, because if I could tell them that one thing is going to happen to them, all their problems will be fixed. So I just do that. Yeah.
Imagine if you go to the Titanic movie and then you just
that would not be good.
You just completely avoid the iceberg and then the Titanic shipwreck would never happen.
That'd this be interesting. Is conspiracy theories now.
that would have been interesting to see what the outcome would have been if there wasn't a shipwreck.
Wrong type of podcast.
Yeah. If you could go back in time and speak to someone like a famous Jewish person or a family member, what would you say to them or ask them?
That's so difficult.
Yeah.
I think it would have to be a family member. But then I'm digging myself a hole there because both of my grandmas are dead, but I never got to meet my grandma on my mum's side. So I would probably just want to have a conversation with her because I think that would be very interesting.
That'd be nice.
I think I would probably just ask her for some life advice. And there's nothing specific that I would need to ask her, but I think it's just having a conversation with her that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Because from what I've heard around the Shabbat table, she sounds like a very interesting person.
Yeah.
Eliana?
I don't know, because I think my great-grandpa, because he did a lot of work with the Refuseniks, the Jews that were stuck in Russia. I would ask him, like, what it was like and what he, like, actually, like, did. I think it would be quite cool to ask him and, like, see, like, what motivated him to do it.
I would say my other great-grandpa, because he worked a lot on... He was what's it called?
Aeronautical engineer.
Aeronautical engineer. And he works a lot with planes, and he designed an engine. He designed a part of an engine for a plane that was used in World War II. And it let the planes be silenter.
I don't think it was used in World War II. I think it was used after because it was really loud to...
No, because it was the Rolls-Royce engine silencer. And Spitfires use Rolls-Royce engines. So I would love to talk to him about that.
It's a hard question. You want to kind of say everyone.
Yeah.
But you'll be there for a long time. So I'd say there's a between my great-grandpa, great-grandma. Probably my great-grandpa, since I've not actually spoke to my great-grandma, but not him. And... just like he sounds like he's had a really good legacy, and I was named after him. So it'd be cool just to see what he's done in life and like kind of compare it to me, as see if it's similar since we have the same name. That'd be cool.
What topics do you think our mum should make a podcast on?
Oh, I think we should do an episode. They should do an episode where they try to understand Gen Z and Gen Alpha slang.
That would be hard.
I just think that would be really funny.
That would be fun.
My dad tried learning it a few months ago and he was not successful.
especially for my mum, who's got no idea about football, it will be funny to see them try and, like, because my mum supports United, best team, because we do. So it'll be cool to see if they can try and talk about it, but without actually knowing any of it, see if they can remember what we've said. That'd be funny to see.
I think my mum has definitely learnt most of her football knowledge from me.
Yeah, my mum's got no clue about any football.
I would really want like a quiz show episode. Producer Dan, make it happen. They need like general knowledge, everything, just like a quiz. And then like definitely around on Jewish history, like Judaism, see who learned the most at rabbinical school. And then general knowledge, everything. Get the totals.
Yeah.
That could be very interesting.
Like a Kahoot quiz.
Yeah, exactly.
So you get the most points.
I don't think we should do another one of these.
End of season 4?
I think they should do a podcast about like music, like pop music. Trying to like, because I know my mom is very into music, but she listens to a lot of 90s and like music when she was growing up. So I think it would be like cool for them to listen to the music that we listen to.
For my mum, it's either 90s music or Jewish music with no in between.
Yeah, same here.
I have managed to convince my mum with some of the artists that I like.
My dad prefers like rock music, but he does listen to some newer music.
What piece of advice would you give to the grown-ups listening that you think they can learn from kids like us?
Don't underestimate us. We are powerful.
Yeah,
life's not that serious. Like, chill out a bit. We're all gonna die in the end.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
I'd say it's annoying when they say, "Oh, can you go get me something?" Since I'm very old, and it's like we've got bones as well. We can get sore. Not just because you're old and achy, we have to go fetch you something. We can feel pain as well.
To the adults listening, I would say enjoy the rest of the podcast, and if you've got this far, well done.
We can't be the easiest to listen to.
Might be hard to listen to a bunch of kids whining about their parents.
Better than the usual one though.
Definitely
debatable. I just say keep on listening to Rabbiting On. You know, if there are more episodes, hopefully we're going to do this again.
The more episodes you listen to, the more likely you are to hear us again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Producer Dan will make it happen. Thanks for listening to this final episode of Rabbiting On.
Hopefully, it won't be the last one ever, though. Our agents are going to have to be in touch with production if there is another series, as we've clearly all been great in this episode. Well done, us.
There are over 50 episodes on Rabbiting On to listen to. We're not in all of them, but they're still pretty good. Some of the stuff our mums have chatted about includes a lot of Jewish stuff, as you'd imagine, but also things like politics, TV, mental health, weddings, and the hazards of being a rabbi, and parenting.
If our mums do come back later in the year with another series, you can get in touch and let them know what topics you want them to cover. Follow the show on Instagram at rabbiting_on_podcast.
Please like and subscribe to the show and tell your friends about it too.
Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
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 Saying bye and then not leaving feels really weird.
Yeah.